Would you stand with us and sing?
Colors of form to the fragrance of spring. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing.
Good morning, New Life Church.
Good morning.
Wow, we're all pepped and ready to go this morning. Sounds great. Thank you, worship team. You know what, I was thinking as we sang that last song there, 10,000 Reasons, you know, on a Thanksgiving weekend, just kind of this idea popped in my head that there's so many things to be thankful for. And surely with this group, we can probably come up with 10,000 things to be thankful for. So let's just maybe take, I'll jot them down. You guys just blurt them out. And we'll, I'm serious.
Love.
What are we, love. Okay, love. All right.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Okay. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Okay.
Jesus.
Okay, we only got 9,997 more to go.
Family.
Sunshine. Sunshine, yes. The sunshine's been great. I love this. Sunshine. Wow, you can't write this fast. Anyone? Okay, we got like 9,995 left.
Sun,
yes. A sun with an O or a U, Mom? I think an O. Anyways, you know what? Maybe we should take this as a homework assignment. And maybe during this week, we can write down 10,000 things that you're thankful for and email those to Nathan. He did say that he would read them all. So that'd be great if you could do that. Anyways... before we take the morning offering today, my name is Rob Bransma, and this morning's offering is going to be for the Canadian Food Grains Bank and World Renew. And I just wanted to share my experience and connection to the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Some of you may know that Bob, and I, you can call him Dad too if you want, that's fine. And our dedicated volunteer staff, some of you are here today, organized the Make a Difference auction each spring. This auction has been running for well over 10 years now and is a collection of farmers and mostly farm-related businesses that that come together and sell cattle and other usable items to support farmers in developing countries. So we get support for this auction throughout BC. Mostly Lower Mainland, but on the island as well, and in interior BC too. So those of you who are not familiar with the Food Grains Bank, it's a partnership of 15 Canadian churches and the church and church-based agencies like World Renew and MCC, just to name a few. And their goal is to end world hunger. So they work with these with locally based organizations in these developing countries to meet their emergency food needs. For example, the Food Grains Bank had a program called Scaling Up Conservation Agriculture in East Africa. It was a five-year program, and over this 5 years, they helped nearly 62,000 farmers were trained in sustainable conservation agriculture methods, and 54,000 people across these three countries are continuing to practice this conservation agriculture, and 51,000 households have improved their access to food, including quality and quantity. So that's part of just a brief background. I know there's a slideshow behind me here. So on the screen behind me, you'll notice further information and stats on the who, the what, the where, what Food Grains Bank is doing and where they're working. You'll also see some photos. I don't know if the photos will be, or have they already passed? They already been going through. Of a trip that Bob and I took with the Food Grains Bank in 2017. We were blessed to tour some of these farms and some of these conservation agriculture practices in place. So these young farmers, and you saw the picture of the young boy there, he had a little plot of land that he was on his own growing fruits and vegetables to provide for his family and then also to sell in their community. So it's a great great outreach. It was a memorable trip, and one of the most memorable moments was Bob getting a buzz cut from the local barber there. I think he took a little bit too much off for Bob's liking, but it was a great trip, and we just want to thank New Life Church and the New Life Church community for their constant prayer and support for our auction, but also for the Food Grains Bank. So if you have any other interest in learning more about, just pop on to foodgrainsbank.ca for more information. So just before we take the offering, there's a few different ways to participate in today's offering. The collection box is on either side of the stage, but you can also do it electronically through e-transfer, and I think it's giving at newlifechurchcrc.ca. So without further ado, let's pray for today's offering for the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful and grateful and blessed. Lord, we have infinite things to be thankful for, over 10,000 things to be thankful for, and we often take them for granted. Our health, our family, our friends, education, community, church, so many things to be thankful for. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Canadian Food Grains Bank, World Renew, and the other affiliated church groups. Thankful for their outreach to those countries that desperately need support. Father, we also lift up our own missionaries from our church that may be abroad and not able to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner with family this year. Lord, bless them and protect them. Lord, we pray that you multiply the offering today for the work of your kingdom. We pray these in your name. Amen.
Can you stand with us again?
Set free, Christ is enough for me.
Just another welcome. I'm privileged to be your host this morning. Again, my name's Rob Bransma. Taylor reached out and said, hey, would you mind helping out? And I'm just privileged to be taking on this journey known as the Morning Announcements. So before doing this, I thought I'd reach out and ask some advice to some professional hosters. I called Jake Kostlik and said, hey, Jake, give me some advice. And he says, well, add a subliminal joke or kind of a funny anecdote. Likely they won't laugh, but if you add something in there, they'll get a kick out of it. I asked Janessa, I said, hey, Janessa, what do you do to kind of feel comfortable up there? And she says, well, I like to wear bare feet. So I'm not going to do that. My feet aren't that pretty. So then I asked Mike Vanderquack, I said, Mike, what do you do? Mike says, just pretend you're surfing in Tofino. So I'll try and do that today. I asked Bruce, I said, Bruce, what do you do when you're on stage to feel comfortable? He says, I like to walk back and forth on the stage and talk with my hands. So I'll try and incorporate that. And then finally I asked Nathan, I said, Nathan, as a host, what, can you give me some advice? Nathan said, well, don't go too long or else the trap door will open and you'll fall into the baptismal tank. So I'll try and make it quick. Just want to welcome all our guests here today. If you're a guest, thank you for coming and joining us, whether in person or online. Thank you for tuning in. Our aim is to help you connect in this community. So if you're a guest, we invite you to fill out a Connect card. So it's probably in your chair or in your pew in front of you. Fill that out. And if you're online, just maybe drop a quick word, where you're from, where you're watching from, who you're watching with. And if you fill out that Connect card, drop it into the box here or drop it in the foyer afterwards. And if you drop it in the foyer afterwards, you can be eligible for this awesome gift bag that comes with a little traveler mug. And I think we're all familiar with this. What else is in here? I think there's a bag of coffee. Oh, there's a bag of coffee in here. I'm not going to pull it out. What else do we got? There's a bottle of water. That might come in handy. Why is there a flashlight in here? Why is there a decorative pumpkin? This is getting strange, folks. Why is there a banana in here? What is this? One free dinner with Pastor Nathan coupon. It expires October 9th, 2022. So I'd encourage you to fill out those Connect cards and bring them to the back. Nathan, you might be having some guests over tonight. Anyways, all right, so announcements, here we go. As you see, there's some food in front of us here. And thank you for all those who brought food. This is for the Gathering Market. And it's a new nonprofit grocery market aimed to help low-income families. So if you don't know what to bring, you can pop onto the New Life CRC.ca website and check that out and see the list of foods to donate under the Events tab. So if you look under the Events tab, you'll find that there. In addition, tomorrow morning, there'll be a 9 o'clock service for Thanksgiving, and an offering tomorrow will be for the Abbotsford Food Bank, so not to be confused with a Canadian Food Grains Bank. Tomorrow is Abbotsford Food Bank. So tomorrow, we're hosting a Thanksgiving breakfast service. This will be a service, a Thanksgiving service and breakfast all in one. Now, I was wondering, is there a drive-thru option for that? Just was wondering who would be manning the drive-thru window on that. I think Bruce would. Bruce would be a good drive-thru window operator. Bring your friends and family out tomorrow to worship together and have breakfast at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. New Life Connects is starting up November 6th. So for 3 consecutive weeks, this class will be following our Sunday service from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And it's just a casual class with Pastor Nathan. and that's for those that are interested in baptism, profession of faith, membership, or any of the inner workings of what goes on here at New Life Church. So again, please visit newlifecrc.ca/events if you're interested in joining. Hope for Cora is another organization mission group that we're proudly affiliated with here at New Life, and they partner with the people of Cora in Ethiopia. And Eve Pohl and her team are hosting a very special event on October 29th at the Clarion Hotel here in Abbotsford. And it's an evening of really good food, great conversation, lively auction. So there'll be lots of things to bid on and inspirational stories of transformation of what's going on in Cora and the work they're doing there. So tickets are $75 per person and can be purchased in the church foyer afterwards. And they're also available during the week here at the church office, so you can pop by anytime to do that. It's also that event on the 29th will be made available virtually too, so if you can't attend in person, watch online as well. So without further ado, I'm going to ask all the kids 12 and under to come on down and kind of gather out front here. Even if you feel like a kid, you can come on down and join us here. So
come on,
I'll
kids.
Pass it over to Pastor Bruce.
Come on down, even if you're new, maybe you're a guest here today, come on down. There's lots of room down here. We can't start the puppet play until you guys come down. Come on. Don't be shy, and if mom or dad, if you need to go with your shy one, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Okay, here they come. There's free food down here. Banana, there's a banana here too. Dinner with Nathan. That's it. Come on in. Come on in. Good stuff. Come on down. We have a space for you right over here. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving Day to you. You know what? I think we have some of our special friends that are home this morning and visiting us here upstairs this week here at New Life. So let's see if they're home, shall we? Gilbert? Gilbert? Oh, hi, Gilbert.
Hi, hey. Pastor Bruce.
Hey, well, hey, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
So, can you say Happy Thanksgiving to Gilbert? Okay, well, I think they're happy that you're here as well, Gilbert. So tell me, what's going on around the family home this Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, I'm trying to find a way to get more turkey.
What?
Well, everyone knows that Thanksgiving is all about eating the most turkey. So over the past few years, I've devised some different ways of getting more turkey at our family meal.
Listen, I think, Gilbert, you're
missing... That's the problem, Pastor Bruce. Most people don't think about these things. And I've put some pretty serious thought into all of this.
I'm not sure I like where this is headed.
The first year, and this was a few years ago, my strategy was to pass the turkey down to my dog. Twice?
Did I hear my name?
Yes, twice. Remember a few years ago at Thanksgiving when I told you I'd pass you the extra turkey down under the table so that I could get more, and then you'd store it and give it to me later?
Vaguely.
But you said you lost it.
Well, lost it is a strong term. All I remember is that was one of my best Thanksgivings ever. I think I slept for 13 hours straight after that.
Well, Gilbert, I hope that kind of taught you a lesson.
It sure did. The next year, I decided to let some stink bugs loose on the table so everyone wouldn't be hungry and I'd get more turkey.
Oh, no.
I remember that.
Oh, hi, Ruthie.
Pastor Bruce, that was the worst Thanksgiving ever. Gilbert let all those stink bugs loose on the Thanksgiving table. And let's just say it made some people very upset.
Gilbert got sent to his room.
Well, how was I supposed to know that stink bugs would make someone throw up? Because no one likes a stink bug in their stuffing. That's gross.
Even I don't like stink bugs. And that's saying a lot.
Well, look on the bright side. At least we got some delivery pizza.
Well, okay now, Gilbert. Hopefully that finally taught you your lesson about Thanksgiving turkey.
It sure did. This year, I've devised a foolproof way of getting more turkey.
Oh, no.
You can say that again.
Oh, no.
It either involves strategically placing firecrackers in the garage or blindfolds and a hot air balloon. But both plans have their potential flaws.
Gilbert, can I say something?
Sure.
I think you're missing the point, Gilbert.
I am?
Listen, Thanksgiving is not about just getting more turkey.
Unless you have a friend under the table.
It isn't?
No, it's not. It's not just about getting more for yourself. It's about giving. That's why we call it Thanksgiving and not Thanksgetting.
Listen carefully, Gilbert.
Listen, look at all the food over there. Everyone here at the church brought some food this week so that we could give it to hungry people who are here in Abbotsford so that maybe they could have a Thanksgiving meal or maybe that they could have something on their supper table in the next number of weeks.
Hmm. Maybe I have been missing the point.
Now who's the turkey?
Gilbert, our family is so blessed. Thanksgiving is all about learning to share the blessing. The Thanksgiving meal is just icing on the cake.
Cake? Now that's something I wouldn't mind sharing. Remember, I'll be the guy under the table.
Thanks, Pastor Bruce, for helping me understand what Thanksgiving is really all about. I'll try to think a little less about me and more about others.
That's the spirit, Gilbert.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, Pastor Bruce.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Say happy Thanksgiving to all the boys and girls as well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Back to you, Rob.
That was an awesome puppet show. Thank you, performers. Okay, kids, it's kids' church time now. So parents, kids aged 3 to 5 can head out that door there, and they'll go down to Little Lights. Kids' church, grades 1 to 5, will head down this door here to their classrooms. And then now begins the 3-minute mingle time, so fellowship time. So let's mingle. Let's chat about what you might be eating for Thanksgiving dinner tonight or tomorrow. Then also brainstorm ideas for those 10,000, thankful reasons or things that we're thankful for, because we got to get those to Pastor Nathan later this week. So we'll start that 3 minutes here now. And thanks for having me. Have a great Sunday.
Bless the Lord. Your holy name. your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the
everybody, please take a seat. Awesome. Usually when somebody comes up here, somebody familiar comes up here to say, hey, everybody, time's up, please take a seat. I see a lot of people lingering because people are more familiar. Now that you see an unfamiliar face, you sit down more quickly. That's awesome. Maybe we should have more unfamiliar faces up here to preach and to tell you to find your seats after fellowship time. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sean, and I'm the pastor of life groups and young adults here at New Life. It's been almost 2 months since I started, and Ashley, my wife, and I have really enjoyed getting to know you and to meet everyone at New Life. We're really grateful for God's provision and faithfulness in leading us here. And we've been so blessed by your warm welcome and hospitality, so thank you. Now, as it is customary for many of us, we think about all the things that we're grateful for on Thanksgiving. After all, Thanksgiving is about giving thanks, not getting a ton of turkey. Though I'm sure many of us have a habit of thinking about what we're thankful for every single day, I know that for me, if I'm not intentional about bringing things to mind daily about what I'm grateful for, I can easily forget to give thanks to God for a lot of things. I can easily fall into the mindset of taking things for granted. Like, for example, my family. Currently, Ashley and Kairos, our son, is visiting Ashley's side of family in Korea. And I miss them a lot. They've only been gone for like less than a week. But it's the little things that I miss, like the footsteps that I hear when I walk in through the door, and things like that. I mean, it's only been a week, but the thing is, I realize that I've taken their presence for granted. Now that they're not here, I realize how much more grateful I should have been while they were with me. Of course, this is hard to do when our son wakes up in the middle of the night or refuses to nap sometimes, but nevertheless, I need to be more mindful to be grateful for them. When we take things for granted, it's very easy to forget to give thanks. And that's why times like Thanksgiving could be helpful. Helpful reminders for the things that we forget to give thanks, revealing in our lives the things that we may have taken for granted. Among many things that we take for granted, I think the one thing that we often forget to give thanks for, even during Thanksgiving, is actually the best reason for Thanksgiving. So what is this best reason for Thanksgiving? The best reason for Thanksgiving is Jesus. And yet it is Jesus that we often forget to give thanks for during Thanksgiving. There are many reasons why Jesus is the best reason for Thanksgiving. We could come up with 10,000 reasons, and you can send them to either Rob or Pastor Nathan. But today I would like to share with you three main reasons, based on the story of Zacchaeus, why Jesus is the best reason for Thanksgiving. The story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Let's look at the story together. I'll be reading from the NIV. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. The first reason that makes Jesus the best reason for Thanksgiving, based on the story of Zacchaeus, is that he takes the first step. Jesus takes the first step towards the one who is excluded and ostracized, the one who is considered sinful and unclean. Now, in today's passage, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. During Jesus' time, the Romans collected taxes through a system of tax farming, which was a kind of taxing system where the Roman government would auction off contracts to wealthy tax collectors who would then pay the government out of their own pockets and then collect from people as much as they wanted to recover their investment. These tax collectors made profit by charging the people much more than what they paid to the Roman government. Some of them even hired soldiers to extort money from people. They took advantage of people for their own gain, and for this reason, everyone thought of them as crooks, robbers, sinners. The fact that Luke mentions the detail that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector who was rich, we could assume that he gained his wealth and his position as the chief collector by being quite good at what he did, by being good at taking advantage of people. This explains why all the people grumbled and called Zacchaeus a sinner when they saw Jesus being welcomed by him to stay at his house. Tax collectors were also considered unclean by the Jews. Jews did not associate with unclean people. As a matter of fact, they were excluded from the faith community because those considered unclean were not welcomed to enter the temple. Because of this, they were also thought to be excluded from the fellowship with God. I mean, after all, how could an unclean person be in the presence of the holy God? But what makes this story so powerful is that Jesus, the Son of God, takes the first step in entering into Zacchaeus' life. Yes, it's true that Zacchaeus showed interest to see Jesus, and this is why he climbed the tree. Perhaps Zacchaeus was curious to see who this person known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners was. Even though Zacchaeus showed interest and climbed a tree to see Jesus, if Jesus did not make this first move in speaking to him and inviting himself into his house, Zacchaeus would have simply remained an anonymous observer. But Jesus did take the first step. And because he did, the one who was regarded as unclean by everyone around him, excluded from his community and fellowship with God, was now accepted, embraced, standing before the incarnate presence of God. So now, how does this make Jesus the best reason for our thanksgiving in the here and now? Because Jesus taking the initiative with Zacchaeus reminds us that he did the same with us. After all, is it not true that God has demonstrated his love for us in that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners? Was it not because of his initiative in lavishing us with his love that we now have a relationship with the Father? Is it not because of Jesus' initiative of dying for us on the cross that those who believe in his name can receive forgiveness and are no longer enemies of God, but children of God? What better reason is there for us to give thanks when, though having done nothing to deserve his love, God the Father has taken the initiative of graciously and mercifully making us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions? Now, there's a word that expresses Jesus taking the first step towards sinners, and the word is this: grace. While the harvest of our fields and the fruits of our labor may be attained by our own initiative of doing the hard work, grace is not attained by works. Grace is extended to us purely out of God's initiative. It is the gift of God. And this is what makes Jesus the best reason for our thanksgiving in the here and now, because grace that is found in Jesus Christ is still very much real for us today. For you, for me, for the entire world that he has created. The second reason that makes Jesus the best reason for thanksgiving, based on the story of Zacchaeus, is that it is through Jesus that salvation comes. In verse 9 of today's passage, Jesus declares to Zacchaeus and to the people around them, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham." Jesus says this in response to the two actions of Zacchaeus. First action is found in verse 6. Zacchaeus came down at once from the tree and welcomed Jesus gladly. The Bible tells us that all those who receive Jesus, all those who believe in his name, will not perish but have eternal life. Zacchaeus' joyful reception of Jesus is a reception of salvation. Jesus said he is the way and the truth and the life. To receive Jesus is to receive life. But you might think, well, how could there be salvation when he didn't even repent of his sins? To this I would respond, he does repent. And it's shown in his second action found in verse 8, where Zacchaeus tells Jesus that he'll give away half of his possession to the poor and that he would pay back four times the amount if he has cheated anyone out of anything. According to a New Testament scholar, Ian Howard Marshall, Zacchaeus' statement in verse 8 is a sign of repentance. In declaring that he will give away half of his possessions to the poor and pay back four times the amount to anyone he has cheated, Zacchaeus is declaring that he would turn from his sinful ways and not continue to live the way that he has been living. After all, isn't that what repentance is about? In other words, there's been a change of heart that took place in Zacchaeus' life because of the initiative, because of the grace that Jesus extended. There's been a transformation that took place in Zacchaeus' life when he encountered Jesus' love. In other words, Zacchaeus became a new man. And that's why Jesus declares that salvation has come to the household of Zacchaeus. The word salvation can be defined as the restored relationship that one has with God when God delivers. Jesus sees in Zacchaeus a response, a deliverance that took place. Deliverance from the bondage of sin driven by his pursuit of status and wealth to restored relationship with God and receiving Christ. Through Jesus, Zacchaeus' relationship to God has now been restored from one who is outside the promises of God to one who is now included in the promises of God as his people. And this is why Jesus declares that Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham. And this is what makes Jesus the best reason for our thanksgiving. Because to all who receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God, as John says. And as children, we have been included in the promise of the new covenant given to us by Jesus. That is the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. I mean, what better reason is there for us to give thanks when Jesus brings salvation to all those who receive him gladly, thereby granting us the right to become sons and daughters of God? What better reason is there for us to give thanks when Jesus brings salvation to all those who repent of their sinful ways and commit to following him wholeheartedly? As it is written in Ephesians 2, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is why Jesus is the best reason for thanksgiving. The third reason that makes Jesus the best reason for thanksgiving, based on the story of Zacchaeus, is that he came to seek and to save the lost. After declaring that salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus continues in verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus was a lost man. He was lost in his pursuit of wealth and status. One might assume that he may have been pursuing these things because he was physically small, as the text says, physically small in stature. He was short. So he may have sought to compensate for himself by accumulating wealth and status, so that people would look up to him, since due to his height, people were always looking down on him. We've known people like that, haven't we? And I don't mean short people. After all, I'm quite short myself compared to many of you. I mean, I feel like there's something in Dutch genes that makes you all tall. It must be all the soup and buns that you guys eat after Sundays. Joking. If you're offended by that, please email me at nathanelgersma@newlifecrc.ca. We've known people who try to compensate for his or her low self-esteem by accumulating money or career or educational accomplishments, or by material things like what car they drive, or how big their house is, or what clothes they wear. Some people try to compensate by attaining high positions of leadership where they exercise power over others in order to feed their ego. While some others try to compensate by the number of followers and the likes that they fish for and try to get on Instagram or TikTok. Now, if we're being honest with ourselves, we've all been there and done that. Like Zacchaeus, we too have been lost in one way or another, trying to fill the void in our hearts by going after things like money, power, status, etc., making idols out of them as we drift further and further away from God. As John Calvin so aptly said, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. But thanks be to God that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In his lifetime, Jesus made it very clear that seeking and saving the lost was his mission. When the Pharisees and the teachers of the law grumbled and asked why Jesus eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It is precisely because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost that he took the first step in inviting himself to stay at Zacchaeus' house, which led to a complete transformation of Zacchaeus' heart. Though lost at one point, he has now been found in Christ. In the same way, though we've done nothing to deserve his attention, Jesus sought us and saved us when we were lost. And this is what makes Jesus the best reason for our thanksgiving. Because it is precisely because he came to seek and to save the lost that we have been found in him. Though at one point we were separated from the life of God, through Jesus, we have been reconciled and restored in our relationship with the Father. Though at one point we were lost in the sinful pursuit of our own idols, because Jesus sought us and saved us, we can now freely live in pursuit of him and his kingdom. Though at one point we were lost in our own selfish desires, because Jesus sought us and saved us, we can now live selflessly to love and serve God and those around us. Though at one point we were lost, not knowing who we are and what purpose we have in life, because Jesus sought us and saved us, we now have a new identity in him and can live our lives with a purpose. Furthermore, the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost gives us hope. I know some of us have family members that have drifted away from the Lord. Although we pray earnestly for them to return to the Lord, sometimes in our prayers, we wonder when or if that would happen. What the story of Zacchaeus reminds us is that Jesus is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to seek and save the one lost sheep. He's the one who rejoices over one sinner who repents. Not only is this good news, but it is the truth that gives us hope. Hope that those who stray are not completely lost. And even if they were lost, they can still be found in Christ like Zacchaeus. Because ultimately, it is Jesus who takes the initiative in seeking the lost and bringing salvation by his grace. So on this Thanksgiving, what would it look like to celebrate and center our thanksgiving around all that Jesus has done for us? Yes, it is good to give thanks for all the fruits of our labor and all that God has blessed us with, and rightly we should. But what if, on this Thanksgiving, as we gather with our families and friends around the table, we give thanks for all the fruits of the Spirit that God has borne in us through what Jesus has done? That way, no matter how much or how little we have to be thankful for, everyone, all of us, whose lives have been transformed by the love of Christ, has something, the best thing, to be thankful for. And that is why Jesus is the best reason for thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for taking the first step in saving us, taking the initiative, taking the step towards us when we were still sinners, while we were still dead in our transgressions. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you that our sins are forgiven through you. We thank you that we have eternal life in you. We thank you that you draw us to yourself. We thank you that through you that we can be called sons and daughters of God. So Jesus, on this Thanksgiving, as we're mindful of the things that you have done, We pray by the power of your Spirit that you would lead us and reveal to us all the things, all the fruits that you have borne in us, in our lives. We pray that as we celebrate all the things that you have done, that you would be glorified in our families, around our tables, and in our lives. Pray for all this in Jesus' name.
Stand and sing this last song with us.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you gather with friends and family on this Thanksgiving, celebrating all that God has done for you and for your household. May the Lord bless you and go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. Quick announcement. It's a surprise announcement. there's cake at the back for Hank Hawk's 90th birthday. His wife, Emma, has arranged for all of us to celebrate with him. So if you see Hank, please wish him happy birthday and celebrate with him. Happy Thanksgiving.